His love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Oh, His love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Oh, His love lifted me. Love lifted me. His love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me.
Oh, aren't you glad for the love of God? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord once again. How many of you enjoyed service here Wednesday night? You appreciate the word of the Lord. Wasn't it wonderful? Such a tremendous privilege it is to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's look at our prayer request, if you don't care to stand with me just for a few minutes. The Manley family, they're traveling this week, and they're asking that we would remember them for traveling mercy, that God would just protect them while they're on the highways. Sister Sherry from Pennsylvania, sister, please pray for her father, who is going for an operation to replace his pacemaker on Thursday the 5th. So let's pray for that need, that the Lord would just be mindful of those folks. Sister Sherry Wiggins says to please pray for her father, Arthur Bruce. He's been very sick for nearly 3 weeks. Also, he's in the hospital. Doctors have not been able to find what the problem is. Please pray for his spiritual condition. He's been away from the Lord for over 20 years. Thank you for your prayers. Well, let's just pray God will do a double work in that man's life. He's able to do that, isn't he? Brother Steve wants us to remember some friends in Chicago. They're having a lot of family problems. Also need strength from God, desires for his family to be restored. So let's pray for those folks tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of them. An unspoken prayer request, financial need and other needs in this person's life, will just commit it unto the Lord. Brother Bob Cotting, suffering from severe dental problems. He's just asking that we would pray for him. The Lord would be mindful of him tonight. I want to pray for Michaela Collins. She has flu-like symptoms. Also, Sister Yvetta, who is also sick. They're asking that we would remember those folks tonight. Also, Brother John Sacker, very, very bad condition. They're just really concerned about him. So they're asking that we would remember him in prayer. So let's pray for that need tonight. I want to pray for the England family in West Virginia. They have no power, water, or phone service due to severe storms, and I'm certain they're not the only ones over in that part of the country. Let's just pray that God would be mindful of all those folks living in that sector of the world, that the Lord would just be mindful. He's able to help them, isn't he? We know that we're just living in perilous times, and we don't know what's going to happen, but we do know who's got everything in control, don't we? Amen. Well, remember Brother James Stamper tonight. He's also in the hospital, breathing complications, and just really take our brother on our heart. We appreciate Brother James, what he means to this local assembly. I want to pray for the Bob Hansen and his family. His wife passed away this morning. She was only 58 years old. They attend Brother Lance LaRue's church in Canada. So let's pray for those folks as they go through this time of their life, that God would just be mindful of them. Brother Reese wants us to remember his stepdaughter. She's looking for an apartment in Kingsport. Just the Lord would open a door for her there. So let's pray for that need. Also, Brother Harry tonight sends in a request. He's got allergy problems, not felt good for the last few days, has no voice, and that just kills me. It hurts me worse than it hurts them. But we just pray for our brother tonight. We'll also want to remember Sister Natalie in prayer, that the Lord would just be mindful of our sister. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have something you'd like for this assembly to pray about tonight, We know that we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems, bigger than all the troubles that surround us. Our God is great. Do you believe that tonight with all your heart? Give Him a big hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him with all your heart. Let's sing that chorus one more time. Yes, love lifted me. Yes, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Yes, love lifted me. God's love lifted me. Brother Joe, why don't you come tonight? Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service. Let's pray with our brother as he...
Let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, truly it was your love, Lord, that lifted us up, Lord, to the place where we could call ourselves a bride. Lord, we can all look in our past to where we was at, Lord, before the word struck our heart, Father. Lord, no doubt some of us were raised in Methodist churches, Lord, some denomination churches, some no churches at all. But it was truly the love and the grace of God, Father, that called a bride to pull around the word, Lord. Lord, to feed us. Lord, and it's your bride that's crawling out tonight, Lord, with these needs. Lord, there's no doubt in my mind, Father, any husband, Lord, with the true love for his wife, Father, would do anything to meet her needs, Father. And Lord, your wife is calling out to you tonight, Lord, these needs, Father. Those that have lost loved ones, Lord. Those that are sick. Those that have financial needs, Lord. Lord, needs that may seem petty to somebody else, Lord. I believe you would silence heaven, Lord, to hear that need, Father. Lord, as we bring every one of these before you, Lord, and there are many, Father. But Lord, you heard every one. You remembered every one, Lord. And you will meet every one, Lord, as your will. We thank you for it tonight, Lord. Lord, we give you the service tonight, Lord. Lord, this is your time to speak to your bride, Lord. This is the bride's time to listen what you have to say, Father. Lord, I want my part of the feast tonight, Father. No doubt each person here, Father. Lord, if they would just let faith take over every need they have, Father, as the word is coming forth, Lord, can meet that need, Jesus. Lord, I want my part tonight, Lord. I don't want to leave without receiving what you have for me, Lord. I pray that you would grant it, Lord. Bless the minister, Lord, as he comes tonight, Lord, that you would anoint him, Father. Lord, may we hear what you would have to say through him, Father. Anoint him, Lord Jesus. Give him strength, Lord. Brother Louis, Lord, the musicians, Father, anoint them, Lord. Lord, this is a time of worship, Father. This is a time to give you praise, Lord, and I want to do my part, Father. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you. Those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless those folks as well. Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand real quickly before they start getting your money tonight. Just make it real brief. Just a real brief fellowship so they can get all your money tonight. Who's on the Lord's side among you? Play it, brethren, if you will. Play it. With all your heart. Oh.
Yes, tell me who is on the Lord's side tonight.
Hallelujah. Oh, aren't you glad you're on the winning team? Hallelujah. Brother Pat, God bless you. Good to see you in the service with us tonight. Certainly glad to have you with us. Let's sing a little song tonight. Brother Lenya wrote this song a long time ago. But it's still a good song, and it's still true in our hearts today. With everything that's going on in the world today, you realize that you probably are one of the few people that can have real peace of mind. Because you know where your anchor is. It's on Christ, the solid rock. Do you appreciate that with all your heart tonight? We take so many things for granted. But to have your anchor in Christ, the solid rock, and to know that whatever happens, it don't really matter. It just don't really matter. Because we're going to a better place. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Give the Lord another big hand clap of praise. You love Him with all your heart. All is well. Yes, all is well. Yes, all is well. We have heard the message, the Lord. All is well. There is a place, perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest for all. Now say it like you believe it tonight. Yes, all is well. Hallelujah. Elisha, Shunammite woman and her son. Woman found favor with God, and He gave her a son. While working in the field, the little boy had died. The woman's faith never failed. Even in death, she testified. All is well. Yes, all is well. Hallelujah. Oh, we have heard message. All is well. Oh, say it, church. Brother Harry. Amen. Yes, we believe you, Lord. Not worked out like God's people thought. For we're here and we're still fighting the greatest battle ever fought. But we're winning by the grace of God. We must have the faith Abraham, for God's word never fails. If we'll trust in Him, you're gonna find all is well. Yes, all is well. Oh.
list for all His will.
Hallelujah. Do you believe it with all your heart? Are you convinced that it's all right? Give the Lord another big hand clap of praise. Oh, all is well. Yes, all is well. We have heard the message so long. All is well. Sing it. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. You just get better every service singing, I'm telling you. I appreciate that with all my heart. God bless you for your contribution to the song service tonight. Brother and Sister Lunsford has a song. They'll come be getting ready. Also, I think Brother Joel, Brother Brandon, I believe they have a song for us tonight. If they'll come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing. Brother Joel, you and Brandon, Brother Brandon, come on and be getting ready. We'll have a couple of specials and we'll go right on into the service. How many of you looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord tonight? Amen. Let's enjoy these groups as they sing and we'll go right on into the service. We kind of love these folks, don't we? Give them a nice hand.
This is an old Happy Goodman song. He's coming back. I'm so glad for that. Amen. Jesus went away one day, left us all alone. But He promised He'd return for His very own. I have watched the sky each day, wished the clouds would roll away. And I see Jesus coming, coming back again. He's coming back, He's coming back. Coming back to take His children home. My eyes are fixed on heaven's shore. He's coming back. I know it can't be long.
Let's start all over.
Brother Harvey, I'm going to tell you about this, Brother Harvey. He said that we can do this next month or next week or sometime later. I said, no, you had a birthday just the other day, and you're liable to forget the words. So we're going to use them tonight. Yeah. I believe it's going to be a good song, though. Sing it, buddy.
Yeah, Brother Louie knows all about that forgetfulness. Amen. I don't like singing a solo, so we'll start over.
Jesus went away one day, left us all alone. But He promised He'd return for His very own. I have watched the sky each day, wished the clouds would roll away. And I see Jesus coming, coming back again. He's coming back.
He's coming back.
He's coming back.
He's coming back.
Come
to take his children home.
My eyes are fixed,
on heaven's shore.
He's coming back.
I know it can't be long.
In the holy book we read, keep your garments white, for the bridegroom call will come just about midnight. When your lamp is burning low, better get prepared to go. For he's surely coming, coming back again. He's coming back. Coming back to take his children home. My eyes are fixed on heaven's shore. He's coming back. I know it can't be long. He's coming back. He's coming back. Coming back to take his children home. He's coming back. I know it can't be long.
Sure be missing Brother Harry's help on this one. It's a little song that my wife helped me write. Pray it blesses you. My hope, this is why I can know, through all the sorrow and the pain, that in the end Christ I'll gain. Everlasting life it will be when my Lord comes back. Everlasting life I will go to join the saints around his throne.
Christ the first among the dead to be revived, the scripture says. But one day we too will be made to live eternally. Everlasting life it will be when my Lord comes back for me. Everlasting life I will go to join the saints around his throne. Thank you.
when from the grave I'll burst one day. Jesus' blood has set me free and swallowed you in victory.
Everlasting life it will be when my Lord comes back for me. Everlasting life I will go to join the saints around His throne. Everlasting life it will. Everlasting life, I will go to join the saints around His throne.
To join the saints around His throne.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you enjoy that? Amen. Amen. Appreciate both of our songs tonight. The effort that goes into singing. We appreciate our folks taking the time to rehearse, to practice, to musicians to work with them, to practice. And well, we just enjoy our singers, don't we? Amen. Let's stand tonight, if you will. Let's sing a little chorus as our pastor gets ready to come. Brother, we got a reverb up here somewhere or another. Can you fix that for us? Some kind of a reverb problem up here. I don't know what's going on, but try to fix that for us if you can. Let's sing the little chorus tonight. Let it rain. Let it rain outside. And let it rain inside tonight. Just let it rain. Amen. Let's sing that chorus as our pastor gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord tonight. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh Lord, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain.
Sometimes my soul, I'm sure just like yours, feels like this dry ground out here in this grass, just cracking open, just begging for some rain. You ever get that way in your heart? You got the Holy Ghost, you're born again, you're changed, you're a new person, but it's just like you need a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. You know, when the dew falls at night, and the scripture in the Old Testament mentions so much about the dew, I don't know if you've ever really noticed it or not. Because to the climates there, the dew was such an important thing. We don't think that much about the dew. It's a nuisance really to us. It's aggravating. You get out early, get out all of your feet, and you walk in it. But to them, it was a great, great thing. But you realize the earth was not made new every morning. It wasn't a new earth. But the dew simply renewed the earth. You don't need a new birth every time you come to church, but sometimes you need a renewing in the presence of the Lord. Aren't you glad He provides that for us? Amen. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to Matthew chapter 20, verse 16. I'd like to speak to you again tonight what we were speaking about last Sunday morning on who is the rapture for. I want to answer part of that. It's for me. What about the rest of y'all? Is it for y'all? Who is the rapture for? Matthew chapter 20, verse 16. Now remember, these are the words of Jesus, so if you're a Christian, of course, you're not going to debate them or argue them. You're just going to accept them. You may not always understand them, but you'll disagree with them. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many shall be called, but few chosen. Matthew 22, verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. It's one thing I love about God. If you can ever find a principle of His character and of His nature, it'll run in perfect continuity. When you find a doctrine that's based on one scripture, one quote, if I was you, I'd run. Even God don't do that Himself. Never. As a matter of fact, I'll prove it to you, it's a heretic. Well, glory. I'm sorry y'all didn't know that. I didn't mean for y'all to swallow your dentures, cough them back up, and we'll resume. Notice this now. For many are called, invited to a banquet. Invited by God in the proclamation of the gospel to obtain salvation in the kingdom through Christ. So many, many are called, but few are ekletos, elect. Picked out, chosen by God. Friend, this is not your choice. If you're a bride, you're not in it because, well, I want to be bride. That's not the way you get in. It's His own choice. Now, this is God Himself, so surely He would know. Many are called, but few are chosen, elect, picked out, chosen by God, choice, select, the best of its kind or class, excellence, preeminent, applied to certain individual Christians. Not all Christianity now, but certain individual Christians. And let's read this that we read last week from the Sardesian Church Age. We know most assuredly that the purpose of God stands in election. It was purposed in Himself. I love this. I absolutely love this. It was purposed in Himself. It was God's purpose to bring forth a people like unto Himself that would be a word bride. Now, are they going to be different than all the rest of humanity? They are. Even their soul is different. The bride's soul is different than all the rest of the mortals on the earth. And I know it's tough, and boy, folks' blood pressure just about goes through the ceiling. But notice this now. A people likened to Himself that would be a word bride. She, now notice she, the bride, not the church, not the foolish virgin, 144,000, all the rest of those. But she was chosen before the foundation of the world in Him. This is how she can be what she is. She was chosen to be that in Him. So in Him is where she gets her placing. She was foreknown and beloved before she was ever brought forth during the ages upon the earth. She was redeemed. She was redeemed. She was redeemed by His blood and can never come into condemnation. She can never be in the judgment. Oh, glory to God. Because sin cannot be imputed unto her. Oh my. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank You tonight for these precious words. Lord Jesus, I believe with all of my heart I'm part of that. I don't know it by knowledge. I don't know it because that I've seen somehow in that book and I was able to see my name naturally. And then that would give me a knowledge to know that I looked on a certain page and I saw my name. But I believe by faith that my name is called as I hear the word preached and it identifies with the inner man of who I am. Lord, I pray that you would take your word tonight and speak to us, Lord. How grateful we are to be sitting at the table of the King. We want you to know that we are so happy to be called your children. We look around, Lord, spiritually, and people are starving to death. It's so sad. Even a lot of message folks are starving to death. Some of them sitting home playing tapes. They don't realize it, but they're starving to death. Some going to a message church starving to death because they've never left that mountain that they started around 40 years ago. How grateful we are, Lord God, to be able to come to a place where we can hear the Word of God preached in season to feed us, Lord. Speak to us tonight once again, Father. The divine principles of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Brother Pat, sure nice to see you now, buddy. God bless you. I'd just like to ask you before we begin, how many's happy to be saved?
Amen.
Just to be a Christian, to be in the house of God. Now, the elect, we know, always the doctrine of election has always caused a lot of different views down through the ages. Many people, because of fanaticism, they steer away from it. Many, because of lack of understanding, they steer away from it. But yet, to the real bride, the truth should not scare you at all. Scarecrows are to scare crows and not scare you. If a scarecrow scares you and you're claiming to be an eagle, I think I'd check the color of my feathers and make sure that you've got eagle feathers there instead of an old blackbird. Now, the rapture, of course, is believed by most of Christendom, most of Christianity today, as we said last week, believes in a rapture. Many of them actually, of course, think they're going to be a part of it. But yet, we know that only the chosen wife of God will be included in the rapture. Now, the Bible itself, of course, doesn't even use the term rapture. But we know we get it from the term raptured or caught up, which is raptor or raptured. And we know that God himself had written the rapture in the Old Testament in types. Much of the Old Testament God wrote, and it was written out plain. But much of what God wrote in the Old Testament, he wrote it out in types. The act of redemption itself is written out in types. The kinsman redeemer is written out in types. The Gentile bride is written out in types. That she was to be included in the last day, it was so vague that even the apostles in the New Testament, they for many years there, even as the Holy Ghost is coming, they did not understand the breaking of the Holy Ghost on the Gentiles, and they had a great confrontation. Because the preacher went and preached to the Gentiles and the Holy Ghost fell on them, and some of the Jewish brothers got really upset because they got the Holy Ghost. Now the reason of that is because there was a lack of understanding even from the Torah of the Old Testament to show them of the coming of the Gentiles. So when it happened, they were just totally overwhelmed. So there's many of the great mysteries or the foreshadowing of the New Testament that was not written out plain in the Old. But it was conveyed in shadows and in types. So was the rapture. Now the Old Testament doesn't actually prophesy by using verbal language and saying, thus saith the Lord, in the New Testament there will be a rapture, in the New Testament it will be this way. But God foreshadowed it and he wrote the prophecy in the lives of individuals. Now we know even the Gentile bride, her real identity is not written out just by verbiage of God. It's not just written to where you'd be able to point your finger and say, well, it's written, it's written, it's written. But some of the greatest examples of the bride's identity is not written actually in, thus saith the Lord, First Corinthians, you know, First Chronicles, so-and-so, thus saith the Lord, Isaiah 25, thus saith the Lord. But it's actually written in the lives of individual women. Now, when we look at Joseph being a type of that and Joseph taking a Gentile bride, the very mystery of the bride being taken as a Gentile was written in the life of Joseph's bride. It was written in the life of Rebecca. It was written in the life of different ones. So the greatest things, some of the very greatest things speaking of the bride is actually written in the shadows and the types. Same thing with the mystery of redemption. Thousands and thousands of lambs and bullocks and turtle doves and pigeons and all that died year after year after year. And yet God never one time said one day Christ will come and he will be the antitype of all these pigeons, turtle doves, oxes. God never even says that at all.
But the mystery of redemption then was written in the shadow of what was taking place every Sabbath day on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, all of that. So then we would have to look and see in the Old Testament of the mystery of the rapture. And see in conclusion how were there's mystery of the rapture, what was written inside that, that would convey something for you and I to look forward to. Now the New Testament of course gives to us illustrations, examples, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, and Peter writes about it as well. But yet as far as giving a lot of the sequence of the events, how it will transpire, many of the things that God doesn't actually say. Now he held much of that of course for the last days when he would be able to call the Elijah prophet, when the Elijah prophet would go back to the Old Testament types and he would also go to the New and he would get a message from God which would prepare an Elijah church. Now remember that Paul in his day wrote about it, but Paul would not actually experience the body change as far as the living ones. Paul would experience the resurrection. So we look at the first rapture that we know about in the Bible, and that is, of course, Enoch being called up, being the elect or the chosen of God. Now, what kind of a man was Enoch? What kind of a setting was it? What kind of a rapture was it that the man went in? Now, if we can take the first rapture, the second rapture, and the third rapture of the Old Testament, and we can find characteristics, conditions, and a nature of God written in the shadows, then it should give us a pretty good idea of what the rapture in the last day will unfold, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm God, and I change not. So if we can look at those, then we'll get an idea of what the rapture in the last days will be about. You agree with that? Now then we would see as God wrote it in the shadows and the types of the very dimensions of the tabernacle, of the colors in the tabernacle, of the priesthood, the colors they would wear, all of that, it was unfolding a mystery of redemption. So in the first rapture, it was actually created, the rapture was created by Elohim himself for a certain man. Now God needed, Brother Darrell said it here a couple of weeks ago, it was very fortunate for Enoch that God needed someone to make a type out of. Amen. It was very fortunate for Enoch that God needed somebody to make a type out of to make a rapture. So then God creates something for this man that has never been before, but it will be again. Now, so God creates this out of his own character. Now, God is going to let Noah build an ark. He's going to let Noah come and they'll be able to cross the Red Sea. There'll be many ways of deliverance, but now this is totally of divine nature and of divine origin, because it's not getting a board and putting it on a, you know, on a beam and taking pitch on the outside. It's really nothing that they can do themselves. Now they have an element of human preparation, but they cannot within themselves orchestrate and be able to bring to pass this divine order, which was called a rapture. So then this was a special creation by God. You agree with that? It was a special creation by God. It had never been before, but yet it was something that was spoke into existence by the very one who created the heavens and the earth. Now, God wants to create a condition which has never been. And he desires to create a system of something that has never been. He can do that. He is a creator. But yet in that, if we'll look at it, we'll see that it, as any man is known by his works. Now, you say, you take a certain man that is a framer. Some of your brothers that frame and you build. Now, those of you that are familiar with him, you'd go on a scene and you'd say, oh, that's Brother Kirk's work. I know his work. Or that's Brother Phil's work. Or you take somebody else and say they lay tile a certain way and they have characteristics. I know myself in recording several music tapes and CDs and things like that. Those guys that are there, they're nominal Christians, and they'll ask me, you know, this certain song, where'd you get this certain song? I say, well, it come off of this album. Oh yeah, so and so, I know that guy. He plays the guitar on that and he always does those sixths and he hits those minors. And I asked him not long ago, I said, So you mean to tell me that you can hear those guys and you know who it is? I said, without a doubt. Because every one of them, even the guys who play the drums, they will hit the hi-hat on a certain rhythm. And when they'd come off the roll and they'd come off the hi-hat and said, we can listen to them and even not even look on the back of the album cover to know who they were, because they are known by their identification the way they play. So we're all known that way. Now then, God is known exactly by the same way. God is identified by his characteristics. Brother Rand preaches that to us in Denham Springs in 1964, and he takes a parallel of a yellowhammer, which is a bird, and he said that yellowhammer, he said, it's a lot different than the jacksnipe or the Wilson snipe. And that yellowhammer, he'll take off, and he said, he'll go up and down, up and down, up and down. And then he said, some of the other birds, they'll go straight like a beeline. And then he says, now if you look up on a hill, and you see an animal up on a hill, it could be a goat, it could be a sheep. He said, but if you watch that animal, and if it would get scared and run off, watch the way that animal will run. Because a deer has a certain way that he'll leave. A goat will have a certain way that he'll leave. And a sheep will have a certain way that he will bound. So he's identified by his characteristics. So God is identified by his characteristics. So if the rapture in the last day is going to be whosoever will, let him come and go in the rapture. Then the first rapture, the second rapture, and the third rapture of the Old Testament would surely have to be of the same character. But of course, they weren't. Glory. So who determined who went in these other raptures? God did. God did. Now, it was not even Enoch himself praying for rapture. There was no such a thing. So here he is building the pyramid and writing the mystery of God and all the cubits and all the different things inside the pyramid. And God is unfolding the mystery of redemption to him. And as this is going on, as Enoch is alone with God in his study, and God revealing to him pi and the circumference of the earth and the degree and the arc of angle and all these things that are going on. And as he's feeding upon this into his soul, something is being released to Enoch that is actually elevating him to a spot that day by day he's climbing above the rest of the people that he's living on the earth with. Now, as he's feeding on this, now he's not trying to make himself strange. He's not trying to be weird or different. But it's just as God is feeding it to him, he's eating on it, digesting it, and it's becoming something. Oh, glory to God. It's becoming something in him. Now, did he recognize it? Maybe all of a sudden. Maybe not. Maybe he went for a while. Maybe he looked around and thought, wow, I'm not growing in God. Oh, my, I'm not growing. Boy, when I first come to the Lord, I give up smoking. I give up this. And I could see such growth in my life, and yet, you know, maybe thought, my, I don't know if I'm growing or not. But you know what? As you feed upon the Word, you come to a spot on the natural outside element, you'll get to a spot. Look, once you give up cigarettes, you can't give them up 75,000 more times. I mean, unless you start smoking again, 74,999 times. But once you reach a certain element on the outside, there's just so much that you can do out here. And then a lot of that work turns where? It turns inward. For the Spirit of God to start dealing with us from within. And then we become so sensitive to things that we say, places we go, things that we do. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Now, it may not be as visible to you, and it may not be as visible to others, but God is now honing then on the inside of the pyramid instead of the outside. Now, the inside of the pyramid contained much more of the mysteries of God that Enoch was able to put in stone than did the outside. You'd walk by, see the outside. I've been there and seen the outside of the pyramid, quite a structure. But yet the inside contains much more of the mystery of God than does the outside. Same with you and I. When you look at the outside, those brothers that we cut our hair, and, you know, we look decent. We don't go around with tattoos and all kinds of things on us. The sisters dress a certain way. But there's just so much holiness that we can do on the outside. But we might have holiness on the outside and be filthy on the inside. So we not only want to have holiness out here to where we look decent, we look clean. Brother Man admired the women of the tabernacle. I read it this week. He said, I think we've got some of the prettiest women. He said, I mean clean. He said, I go out and preach, and he said, they got mascara, paint, makeup, whatever it is. He said, I believe we've got some of the cleanest women that I ever preached to in my life. And I thought, what a compliment to give women. They're clean. Amen. But yet you realize there's just so much of that that you can do on the outside. So does the work stop once the outside comes up to par? Absolutely not. It continues to unfold on the inside. So then the temperament and the faults that you receive by birth and the star you was born under that set your birth paths in the natural nature, all those things will take much, much longer. Listen to me. They will take much, much longer for you to be able to get under control and under victory by the grace of God than will just the outside, parting your hair, letting your hair grow out, getting rid of your pants. Come on, church. That inside, I'm convinced God will be working on us, Brother Jim, no doubt, to the very day before or the day of the body change. Oh, my. Aren't you guys still working on you, though? That's a good thing. Now, so we look at the first rapture, then we see that God calls out one man out of all the millions that are living on the face of the earth, and God calls this man into a supernatural spiritual seclusion. This man is pulled into the inner sanctum of the mind of God, of what God wants to reveal for that time, and build a memorial which will withstand the flood, the antediluvian destruction. It will withstand Napoleon. It will withstand all different kinds of conquerors. And whenever they come there and they look at it, they would just be smitten by seeing such a thing. And why was it that all those people who took Egypt, when Ptolemy took Egypt, when Alexander took Egypt, when different ones, why was it they did not want to destroy that? It was in the nature of man to go in and destroy and annihilate all these great conquests and things that they was able to do. They wanted to build these mighty buildings. Why is it they did not destroy that? Because Almighty God would not let them destroy it. That's why. Notice that this was even more sacred. Listen carefully now. This was going to be more sacred and even a greater symbol than Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple was destroyed and annihilated. Why was not the pyramid? Solomon's temple was not going to speak of your body change. Amen. Solomon's temple was not going to speak of a rapture, but the pyramid must remain on the earth until the bride is raptured out of here in the last days. And it'll be destroyed after the rapture, not until. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What is it? God writing in there his very character. So if we could ask pre-antediluvian destruction, who is the rapture for? One man. Not him and his wife, him and his kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, cousins. One man. The rapture was specially created for one individual. That individual is not going so much by free moral agency. Hold on, you good old Baptist now. He's going by election. Right? He's not going actually because he's a better person on his own works than everybody else that is there. Amen. But God releases to this man something that will make him different by what he is hearing as well as what he is. Now what he is hearing signifies who he is. And who he is signified by what he's hearing. Now you realize that some folks listen to this message, and because of who they are, all they hear is a Kentuckian. They say it's full of mistakes. They don't say it's no different than any other message. And that within itself proves who they are. Others hear it. They know it's a Kentuckian. They know it's a human being. They allow for the human part. They allow for the progression, all that. But in spite of all of that, you know what they hear? They hear a message from God in the last days, in the end time. And because of who they are is determining how they are hearing what they are hearing. And because of what they are hearing, how they are hearing determines who they are. It ties right the same way. Folks come to church and they hear some ignorant man like me, and they'll sit there and pick and fuss and fight and argue. I don't like this. I don't like that. Others sit there and they say, poor old Brother Donnie, he says things so backwards. He says things, you know, oh my, misquotes the scripture and this and that and the other. But that's not the reason they come to church. They come to feed on that unfailing body word. And because of who they are is what they're hearing. Others will sit there, I didn't get nothing out of the service. I never will, no doubt. You realize it was the same way with the Lord Jesus, the same way with Paul. It's always been the same way. And the rapture in the last day is not for whosoever will. Let him come. It's for the elect only. So God creates a rapture for one man. This man starts in a regular routine, very habitual about this and the way that he goes about it. He walks with God. He walks with God. Now, he's not sitting back somewhere waiting for one day something to come out of heaven that he doesn't have or something that he's not a part of. He's not backslid and sitting there waiting for somebody to speak him in. He's already in. So God creates the rapture and the conditions and the requirements of this rapture, and he gives them to this man, and all of a sudden this man feels he must get closer to God. I imagine the folks in that day were about as busy or busier than we are. I'll tell you, friends, sometimes I look around and I think, Lord, have mercy. Our lives are so full of stuff. We are so busy. It seems like everybody you talk to is so busy, busy, busy. They got so much going on. And a lot of our busy things is not sin. It's not necessarily that it's wrong, but it's that we get so busy that we don't have time for the things that really, really matter in life. Now listen, if that is where we are, I'm convinced that this condition has existed before. That the condition, this condition existed before, that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be. And this busy part of our lives, and you know how it is, you come to the end of the week, you haven't hardly prayed any, you haven't hardly read your Bible, haven't been able to listen to tapes because you work and this and that and the other. And look, friends, you tell me, Brother Donnie, what's the answer? I can't tell you as a group what's the answer, but I can tell you as an individual. I'd go before God and say, God, help me. Help me, Lord, to find some time in my life for you. Help me, Lord, to find the time for reading my Bible and praying. If I've got to do it on the way to work and back from work, God, if I've got to do it when I go to the bathroom, if I've got to do it when I'm eating lunch, please, God, show me how to make time for you in my life. While I'm going in there brushing my hair and combing my teeth. Oh boy, you see what I'm saying? Let me back up. While you're in there brushing your teeth and combing your hair. Glory. When you're driving down the road, Lord Jesus, help me. Lord Jesus, you're pushing your buggy in Walmart. Lord Jesus, be with me. Friends, we can find time if we'll pray. So all of a sudden, this great pyramid builder, they notice him every day out of his activities. He's taking time for God. Now he knows his work is a part of God, but he knows that is not his walk with God. So he's convinced that listening to tapes or going to church is not necessarily his walk. As we try to substitute. So maybe it's a set time every day. Maybe it's a random time. But O Enoch would come up missing. Now listen to me. If you plan on coming up missing, you better start coming up missing now. So instead of being at every fellowship dinner that's going on and every hot dog roast and this and that and the other, fellowship is good, but that ain't got nothing to do with you and God. You can attend every fellowship thing that's going on in this church. We can have hot dogs on Monday night. We're going to have hamburgers on Tuesday night. And we can have French fries on Thursday night. And we can have onion rings on Friday night. Nothing but us, just us Christians. That's all. I mean, just fellowship and fellowship and fellowship. And every one of us backslid like I don't know what. Because us fellowshipping with one another is a total different thing than our fellowship with God. Many folks love fellowship, but they can't seem fellowship with God. I don't understand that, friends. We've got to have time a along with him. There was something built, this spiritual mechanism that was built in Enoch's seed, that he was going to come up missing. So you know what? It was like it become part of his nature. It becomes so automatic to him that his wife would miss him and said, well, where's he at? Ain't nothing strange about him. You have to look for him all the time. Yep. His kids say, where's daddy? Oh, probably out going. You know how he is. Gets out there by himself. Where's Uncle Enoch? Where's son? Oh, you know how he is. He's all the time coming up missing. Oh my, sure he loved family. Sure he loved this and that and the other. But this began to come out in his life. So where he walked with God. The Bible doesn't say him and his wife walked with God. Or him and his children walked with God. Or none of him and his family. But him and God walked together. In order to do that, there's times you're going to come up missing from all the get-togethers. Praise the Lord. Now don't raise your hands. But how many of you husbands come up missing? And your little boy, they ask your wife, where's daddy? And your wife can say he's praying. He wants to pray. Or could she say he's shooting his bow? Or he's going through his fishing lures, or he's online looking at this and that and the other. That's not alone with God. Well, glory. Now, friend, if we're going to come up missing, we better start come up missing. You and God better start getting together, like on a frequent basis. You follow me? You and God, Brother Tom, need to get together. He needs you and you need him. Now, it ain't going to be really hard to know those. I believe as we go on in time, we're going to see it more and more and more. As a matter of fact, if you remember, I warned you many, many years ago, it was going to come to a spot that many people that was going to ride on a preacher's coattail, before long, it would tell on them, because those that don't have a walk with God, the world's going to get the best of them. That's exactly right. And it's the same way in the rapture. Really, I don't think it's going to be a great marvel or a mystery for those that's going to go in the change, because we will see them so harmonizing. It will be a pre-rapture change that's coming upon them. And they will sense themselves needing, feeling the necessity to get along with God, to pray. If it's no more than 5 minutes at a time, 10 minutes at a time. I can't give God but 10 minutes. I'll give him 10 minutes 10 times a day. Well, so I ain't got that much. I'll tell you what, you start at giving him 1 minute then. Give him 1 minute 5 times a day, and then move up to 2, then give up to 3. Don't start at say, well, I got an hour and a half to give God at one time. Well, he's not that demanding. Start out little. Work yourself up, and you'll be surprised at how much time you'll find in your life that you could actually work him in there. Now notice then, so who was this rapture for? Then this man's life, in this man's life was written the mystery of the bride. So then this man started walking with God. And God was so pleased with the way that he walked, the way that he talked, the way that he behaved. Every day maybe Enoch would venture out just a little bit farther than the day before. Now maybe he started just walking, say, a quarter of a mile from his home. Then he'd turn and come back. And then he'd go out maybe, you know, just a little bit farther than that, a week after that, and then a little bit farther. And he kept building up his faith muscles as he was walking out. Man, he'd come back, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, wow, I had a wonderful time with God. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm telling you what, it was so wonderful. You're a little bit later than you was. Well, actually, I found myself so caught up, I went out past where I normally go. In Pentecost. I went out a little farther. I found myself going a little bit farther than I did when I first come to the message, and I found out I was saying more than God sent a prophet. I got on past God sent a prophet. I got on past, oh, glory to God. Let's all rally around William Branham. And I got out there a little bit farther. I began to wonder what I was out there. I began to wonder what I was out there in front of me that I never found yet, wife. Now, Enoch, you be careful. Don't you go off the deep end. You know you're already strange. People around your sink are kind of, you know. I live with you. I know you're a good man. Even I get worried about you sometimes.
I'm just a warning now. I'm just telling you, just be careful. Oh, I will. I ain't going off the deep end. I might go up the deep end, but not off of it. So God hones in on one man and unfolds in this man's life a special creation which had never been before and synchronizes this man's walk with the future events. Now, he's actually living modern events made clear by prophecy. Now, watch in his life, because the man is actually prophesying of his future. He's walking with God. So he's walking with God alone. And he takes time away from everybody else with God alone. And he gets by himself with God alone. And he goes on out a little farther with God alone. Now, modern events were being made clear by prophecy in this man's life, because God is foreshadowing in the way that he's living. He's getting day by day by day, he's getting farther and farther away from Laodicea. Oh, glory. I'll tell you, friends, I don't know about you, I do not feel at home in this world anymore. Lord, you know, we have no friend like, can you say amen? With politics, with the economy, with the government, with the world system, look everywhere around us, the whole world is falling apart. Oh my, if you can feel at home in this world, I advise you to check up. So this man's getting closer to God and farther from the world. Loving, respecting, acknowledging, doing his responsibility with his family, but in one sense of the word, feeling even estranged from them. Because he tried to talk to them about the arch of the pyramid and talk about the pit and going up the ascending chamber into the bride's chamber up to the seven steps. And they couldn't understand his spiritual mathematics. They couldn't understand the arch. They couldn't understand the pie. They could not understand the circumference of the earth hid in the mystery of the pyramid. So no doubt they'd try to bring him down to earth. Talk about maters and taters and ball games and soccer and the price of gold. And no doubt there's converter guys in that day too. They wanted to talk about platinum and silver. Well, there wasn't converter guys, but there's definitely metal guys. You metal brothers need to be careful. Remember, it was the serpent seed that actually got tied up in metals in the beginning. I know some of y'all make your living it that way, but remember, you better do it carefully. It was not the seed of God that went to the metals in the earth. It was the seed of the devil. Well, glory. Come on. And yet this man loved his family. He knew that before he could go in a rapture, this man could not be a wife beater and go in the rapture. This man could not be a man that shirked his responsibility as a father and go in a rapture. He could not be so tied up in God and sitting so out there and his family at home starving, either by food or by friendship and tutoring from their dad. So he knew he had all these responsibilities. How do you sort them out? How do you sort out being a dad? How do you sort out being a husband? How do you sort out being all of this and being a son of God at the same time? It takes the Spirit of God to help us. To me, it's one of the greatest victories in our lives, to be able to sort through all of our responsibilities. Man, I remember when I was a kid, people that reached my age, I mean them old, old people, you know, 50s, stuff like that. Oh, you feel so sorry for them poor old people. And seem like they just see them out on the porch. And they're sitting out there rocking. And you'd go by and say, Lord, have mercy. Poor old things, you'd wave at them and they just rock. The older I get, the more responsibility I got. Rocking chair? If you can put rockets on it, maybe. I'm not sure I'll have time to rock if you can strap rockets on my rocket chair and zoom me over here and zoom me over there and zoom me over here to take care of all of I've got to do. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And seem like the older I get, the more responsibility and the more pull. And I think, Lord have mercy, where's them golden years? I hope I ain't a piece of iron that's resting on the side of the road somewhere. I do hope I've got some golden years somewhere. In them golden years when you can retire. When life comes easy and you sit there and you whittle. I remember them old boys by the name of down in Kentucky, them old men, and they'd sit out there at Happy Top at that store y'all heard me talk about. And I'd walk out there every now and then pick up pop bottles and see them old boys sitting out there in milk cans. And they'd just be sitting there whittling. Y'all know what whittling is? All right. They'd just sit there and whittle. Just be a pile of shavings. That was their day's work, Brother Hurd. That's what they done. I can't imagine me ever being able to whittle. Can you brothers imagine ever getting to a spot by the cabin where you just sit down on the porch? Sister Ruth come out and say, what are you doing? Same thing as yesterday. Same thing as day before. Same thing as day before and the day before and the day before. Just whittling. I don't even got a good whittling knife. As a matter of fact, I don't know how to whittle anyway. But you think, how? How did he do it? It must have been God revealed it to him.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
How are you going to do it? What about you, Brother Amos? What about you moms and dads? When raising your kids and pointing us over here and taking them over there and doing this and doing that. How are you going to do it? Brother Donnie, we need to have some crisis on telling us how. I won't be able to teach you. The variables would be so many, there's no way we could ever have enough crisis. You're robbing my whittling time. But I'll tell you one who can teach us all. We go to him, Brother Jim, and we say, Lord, how do I be Jim Babb? How am I to be Jim Babb, and I'll be a father to Scotty, and I've got to be a grandpa, and I'll work at the library, and I've got to do this. God, help me to be able to allocate my time to you and to my responsibility at the church, and tell me, how can I do this, God? How can I? And the answer to Brother Jim might be a total different answer than the answer to you. And the answer to your brothers would be a total different answer to you sisters. But the Holy Ghost who has called us to this. And some of you, I know you sisters, you feel so bad you work and you try to help provide and you do this. And that. I ain't never got no time. And you feel like a dog when you hear me talk about praying. You hear me feel talk about reading in these. I never get to do that. I never get to do that. I don't never get to do it. Right, Brother Donnie, of course you don't. And God don't expect you to. I'll study more in 1 week than most of you would study in probably years of your life. I study more in 1 week than some preachers do in years of their life. And that ain't bragging on me nor putting them down. It's just a difference in our makeup. You'll never need to read and study and all as much as I do. But what you need to do is find that slot in your life and say, God, how much do I need? How much do I need? What do I need, Lord, to help me and sustain me and keep me in life? I want to be in synchronization, Lord, for this body change. So we got this man that's so synchronized with God that God says, you ready? Yes, sir. Where are you going? Oh, me and God. Me and God's taking a walk. Here they go. How you been today, God? Well, I've been great. I always do. How are you doing, Enoch? Lord, this old world, it's a trouble, God. There's so much. God, these walks, they're ruining me. I hope I can say it to you, Lord. You'll understand it. It's getting me where I don't want to go back. God, these walks, I mean, I love you. But these walks, they're working on me. I get caught up and I see what you're saying and I see what you're doing and I think, I don't want to go back. I don't want to leave church. I don't want to go back to my troubles. I don't want to deal with all that stuff. And God said, I understand, Enoch. I understand. But God, what am I going to do? I've never been so happy in my life. I've never been so happy in my life. But Lord, it's a paradox because I've never been so miserable. How can something so great, how can something so wonderful, how can something in such an honor and a privilege that you've given to me, how can it make me miserable, God? You'll be all right, my friend. I'll help you. Don't you get discouraged now. These walks are going to mean more to you than what.
what you ever realized. Oh God, I'm not complaining. I'm not saying that I don't love them. I do love them, but Lord, I just love it so much, and I get to where every day I want to cut the day short, and I want to be with you more. And God was in church out the other night, and I just said, Lord, please come. Don't let us leave this building. Please come. I don't want to leave. Lord, I don't want to shirk my responsibility. God, I don't want to be wrong. Lord, am I wrong? Of course not. Son, it's hard to explain it. And really, I'm the only one who understands. Your wife don't understand you, your children. All them pyramid builders down there, they respect you, but yet they think you're really different. I know, God, that's why I so look forward to these walks. It just seems like when me and you get together, it just seems like that I've got somebody that understands me. Don't you get discouraged. Oh, no, sir. I won't. I'll be back tomorrow. Have a good night. You too, Enoch. And don't never forget, Papa loves you. And I love you, Papa. I'll see you tomorrow. Okay. You imagine going back home. Oh, the low. After a real high in the Holy Ghost. Any of you ever been there? Sure you have. Oh, but Amos, when you get there in the presence of God and all the Lord just ministering to you and helping you and oh my, that low after God, I don't want to go back. You imagine day after day, Brother Terry on his way back home, the way back home got farther and farther. It's like, what in the world is going on here? It seemed like I ain't never going to get back there. What's going on? Oh, I don't know if you realize it or not, but he was getting closer to Papa's house every day. He was getting closer to Papa's house every day. Now notice, friend, the mystery of the rapture. It's written in this Avi Enoch, Avi Elijah, and Avi Elect of Matthew 27. It's not written out in the Old Testament in verbs and adverbs and nouns and pronouns. It's written in the mystery of their lives. And who was it? It was the mystery of the elect, the chosen, the called out. Did he eat like normal human beings? No doubt he did. Did he have to do things, repair around the house and do this and that and the other? Yes. But I imagine the burning thing in his heart was that walk with God. Oh my, no doubt he tried to blend and merge everything of his activities right there in that walk, and he never lived one way at home and another way out here. He lived the same way everywhere he was at. He was a real, genuine believer, and that word, why, his soul was a different soul. It was a soul of God. That was in God before the foundation of the world. You see, there are billions of people on the face of the earth tonight. But all of those people do not have a soul of God. They have a soul because they're a human. But only the elect come from the gene pool, the soul pool of God. So they have a soul that is different than everybody else. Lord Jesus. That's why when they hear the word, they can sit there and hear the sermon, and somebody else will sit there and hear the same sermon. A person with a soul from God will hear it in a total different way. They'll sit in the same church, listen to the same tapes, listen to the same prophet, read the same Bible, hear the same quotes, but the person with the soul of God, it does something different to them. Why? It's because it's where they're from. Their soul, that gene, when they hear that word, they say, oh my, that's me, that's right, it is them. That's actually who they are. They've got a soul of God that come from God, which is a part of the Word. So when they hear the Word, it's the uniting of the Word to their soul. The others have a human soul. They have a soul that has choice of right and wrong. And they say, oh yes, okay, I think I want to do this, and I think I want to do that, and I believe I want to go here, and I believe I want to do that. And they hear the Word say, I don't believe that. I don't want to do that. Can they do that? They can. And they can make that choice. But the elect can't. Because their soul is actually the Word. A soul of God that was in God.
So when they hear truth, present truth, they feel different. They act different. They respond different. Because they are hearing themselves. Others sat down and said, I have no idea what he's even saying. Sometimes he is the stupidest preacher I've ever heard in my life. What is he even talking about? I can't make no sense out of him. Yet they can sit and hear a philosopher or some theologian. Makes perfect sense. Why? His soul is like theirs. But you see, a soul preacher can really only minister to soul believers. A preacher that's born by the breath of God, a soul of God that was in God, once the certain soul believers get around him, it's like they link and they don't even know why. Maybe they clash big time in the flesh. They would clash and they'd have such differences as far as the human part. But there's something about what he's saying. They can't get away from it. It's like it penetrates beyond imagination. It penetrates beyond love. It penetrates beyond affection. Glory! It penetrates beyond all the human part. It's beyond words. It's like there's something that just unites. Well, hallelujah to God. It unites with them and they say, Lord, have mercy. I can't get away from this. I've never seen anything like this in my life. Oh God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Amen. Don't you understand why hearing this word from a prophet of God caught your attention and made you react different than other folks who heard the same prophet around the same message? And now they're saying, I'm not sure if the message is right or not. Friends, it's unbelievable how many folks are leaving this message and going to denominations. Going to denominations. It's unbelievable. I mean, I hear about it all the time. This one going, that one going. Preachers, preachers that have stood in message pulpits and preached this message. A preacher called me just this week and telling about a minister in his church that had been there for 10 years. 10 years, gifted man. Preached, seemed like had a real understanding. Left his church and went to a denominational church and now he's using his knowledge of the message to preach against this message you love. Why didn't he do you that way? Why didn't he do you that way? Different soul. Different soul. A soul of God that was in God. And as we go on, there'll be more and more and more that'll leave. And you just mark it down coming from a little idiot, a little somebody that don't know something. It'll be some of them that'll turn from it. That'll be the very ones that'll initiate and bring trouble upon us. Oh yes, it was exactly that because they know what we really believe. All these websites and books that's written about us, they don't know nothing really. If they knew what really goes on in around us, they would have a heyday. But who knows best? Some who sit right here in this church. Some who sit down at Brother Tim's church or wherever more. They're the ones that'll turn coat on us, but let them turn. Because when that time's arise, we'll be closer to Father's house than we are to ours. Oh, glory. By that time, it won't matter. Brother Hurd, we'll be walking in such harmony with God. We'll be ready. We'll be sick of this world. We'll be sick of its policy. We'll be sick of the economy. We'll be sick of the Democrats and the Republicans and the Tea Party and everything else. We'll say, Lord God, get me out of this world. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let's stand. Lord, have mercy. All I've got to say is you just seen a miracle. I brought with me tonight to church 13 pages of notes, quotes, scriptures, meanings of words, and so on. This is page 1. I got down to here where it says S-T-O-P. All the rest of that you just heard was fresh from the oven. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Oh, I love it when he does that. I love it when he does that.
Oh my. Oh children. Let's walk with him. Let's walk with him. I'm talking about just your church. I'm talking about at home. Your brother's doing your jobs. Your sister's making your beds. Cooking your meals. Have him to lead you. Lord, help me. Help me that I can reestablish my walk. Many of your mothers, when you were single women, you had one type of responsibility. Now that you've got children about you, you've got a different type. Some of your sisters that have lost your husband, when he was here, he's next to the Lord, probably the focus of your life. Once he's taken out of there, then you think, God, what do I do with the rest of my life? Then you refocus. You go to him who brought you on the earth and say, what do you want me to do from this point on? What should I do? We come through different changes in our life. You understand that? Well, and we have to reevaluate. I'm constantly doing that. Reevaluate, reprioritize things in my life to get them in order. Hallelujah. And I always want him to be number one. There's two that I know about for sure where they fit always. Two, I'm for sure about where they fit. He's first. And I'm supposed to be last. Then family and church and all the rest that's somewhere in the middle. And if I can get him first and me last, then I believe I can get the rest of them together. If one day you are expecting to come up missing, let your wife know you come up missing now. Get alone with God. Go down in your basement. Go sit by a pond with a fishing pole in your hand or something or another. Get alone with God. You see, the reason some people never crave this, and when they hear things like this preached, they really can't relate. They've never had it. They've never had it. So they really don't know. All they know is going to church, they read the Bible when it's convenient, they come to church when it's convenient, pay their tithes when they can afford to. Everything is on a convenient affordability. It's not a self-sacrifice. It's not a denial. And as far as having that walk with God, listen to me, friends. If there was no city, if there was no streets of gold, no palaces, no mansions, no jasper walls, if heaven was no more than like a Kentucky field, there's parts of Kentucky, Tennessee, you know, I've been in different parts of the world, that's just so beautiful. If heaven was no more than, say, Interstate 64, going out of Kentucky, where the Kentucky Horse Park is. Many of you know where that's at. You've been through there. But off the interstate. And you see those beautiful, long, white vinyl fences on the right and on the left. Those big, old, gigantic barns. And those racehorses where they retire them. It's just so beautiful. If heaven was no more than that, if Jesus was there, that would be heaven to me. I don't think of gold and silver and robes and crowns. To be honest with you, I can't even relate to that. You think about rewards and all. I don't think that way. To me, when I think of heaven, I think of one thing. Jesus. And to be with him forever. But if your mind is constantly on material things, material things, material things, you can see why some people think of heaven on size, acreage, all those things. You say, if that excites you more than the person, you need to update your walk. I haven't fell in love with the size of heaven, and I want to go see it. There's places I've read about in the world that I'd like to go see. And I've been privileged by God's grace to see some beautiful places in the world. But there's places I hear about and I read about. And I think, oh, I'd like to go there sometime. I'd like to see this. I'd like to see that. But you know what? Once I heard about him as a little boy, as a Trinitarian, went down in January and they baptized me in titles. And I prayed to the Father for a while, and then I'd pray to the Son for a while, and then I'd pray to the Holy Ghost for a while. Because I didn't want neither one of them to get mad at me. But there was something got a hold to me then. And thank God it ain't never let go. Glory. It ain't gold, it ain't silver, it ain't pearls. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. If heaven, my friends, as far as if Jesus would come down here and just sit down in Elizabeth, get rid of all the sin and all the sorrow. And you live where you live, and I live where I live, and we just live here in Elizabeth. And he said, this is it for eternity. I'd say, I'm so happy. Just to be with you. I don't need gold. I don't need silver. But I do need Him. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus. Amen. We'd just like your walk to be enriched with God. Deeper, more consecrated. My dear friends, I know you're so pressed for time and trouble and anxiety. There's never been an age that's had such pressure as you do. And I pray for all of you, all the time, that God will help you. Lord Jesus, dear sir, I want to thank you for this service. I just marvel at you, Lord. Here I have been studying and looking at this all week long. You must have chuckled a little bit when I sent these quotes this evening. I love it, Lord, when you come and take over. Help me, Lord, that I'll never get to a spot that I think I know how to preach. Help me to always be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I've got a request for you tonight from me. I don't want to be a greater preacher, a bigger preacher. I don't ask you for money, for riches. Popularity, I've pretty much outlived that. My popularity has waned in the message, so I don't really have to worry about that. I don't want to be important, but I do want a closer walk to you. And Lord, I know my walk is intertwined with my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my family, my church. I need your spirit to help me. Same with these people, Lord. I don't want to be a consecrated pastor and fail as a husband. I don't want to be a consecrated pastor and a good husband and fail as a father or fail as a brother to Harry or my sisters or Jamie. I want to accomplish all that you've called me to do. And sometimes it becomes so overwhelming. I think, Lord, how can I do it? I pray you'd help me. Help me, Jesus. I pray for these people and those that will hear this service. Help each of us, Lord. Oh, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Listen to this quote, friends. Heavenly Father, we're not much to begin with, Lord. We just come here because you spoke us into existence. You fed us and kept us. We who've accepted you and are very thankful, Lord, to know this, that someday we're going to be changed. This old vile body of humiliation that we live in will be changed and fashioned and made like unto your, oh, listen to this, to your body. We rest safely in this ark.
and by thy word this morning, by the Holy Spirit, that he has brought to the people the signpost. We are at the end. The change. The change. Listen to this, in a very beautiful type, Elijah this day, maybe a little off the beaten line from some men who knows the Bible better than I, but I kindly believe that there will be a message in the last days, something like Elijah. And that Elijah church like will not die, but be translated, taken up. Fire will take it up into glory. The Pentecostal fire will rapture it up. Oh, glory. Don't you see why you needed an Elijah prophet instead of a Jeremiah prophet? Don't you see why you needed an Elijah prophet instead of a Moses prophet? Elijah had a rapture. People can recognize the Elijah prophet, but do they know there's an Elijah church here? Glory to God. Glory to God. What is it, friends? They're going to live out this life, the Elijah church. Notice Elijah knew. Oh, let me not get into that. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who is the rapture for? Praise be to God. Amen. I believe with all of my heart. Brother Terry said he's here tonight. I think it's Brother Terry. But his place had been already set at the table. And they wasn't nobody taking it. I about had a spell. I thought, praise the Lord. I believe that, don't you? That's the way it is. Some of these youth banquets and different things that they have whenever Mink Carroll's going to be there. And they'll have us sitting at a certain spot and the ministers and different ones here and there and there. And I'll go in and ask the ones, where are you sitting? Brother Donnie, you're over there at that table. Sister Carol, you're there. Brother David, Tyler, Brother Darrell, you know, whoever it is going to be there. Sure enough, I'll walk over to that table and there's my name. Glory. Amen. It was forethought, pre-planned. They knew I was coming and they planned a spot for me. Amen. Oh, glory. You believe it, church. You believe it. Amen. Sing that, Mary. Oh, thank the Lord. Don't you appreciate His goodness? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just sing a little before we go, can we? Oh, praise be to God.
Walk with me.
Yes, Lord.
For you are worthy.
Yes, Lord God.
Walk.
Lord God. Hallelujah.
For you are worthy. Before the world began.
Think of the children.
You were in my plan. Walk with me. For you are worthy.
Jesus saith to the bride now,
oh, walk with me.
Little bride, you. Come walk with me. My blood has made you worthy. Before the world began, you were a soul of God that was in. I'll reveal my mystery.
Promise to one of the church ages was, those in Sardis have not defiled themselves, and that they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. One day Jesus will step up from the Father's room, and the change of the position of his body means the change of my body is on the way. Hallelujah. And he'll start toward this earth. His precious feet will never touch it, but he'll start toward this earth. And when he does, it'll release the motion of the body change. And he'll not tell us, come and walk with me in white, for you're worthy. But he'll tell us, come and walk with me in a new body, for you are worthy. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes, if we can, for just a moment before we go. Oh, I just wish I could pull him up close to me. My husband, my lover, my Lord, my King. I wish I could just bow down at his feet and take his precious feet in my hands, like Mary did that day. Just kiss on his feet, look up from his feet into his beloved eyes. Oh, hallelujah. One day I'll get to do that. I'll get to see him and take him by the hand. Take my hands and touch his precious face. Not only that, but he'll take his and touch mine. He'll take his fingers and wipe the tears from my eyes, because when that happens, I won't be able to hold back the tears. He'll tell me, don't cry no more. because you've walked with me on the earth. Enter into the joys of your Lord. They were prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Walk with me now for eternity. Look at your land. Look at your city. Look at your home. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, may we have a walk that's pleasing to you. Glory to God. Just love Him, children. Just love Him. Just forget who's standing by you, around you, near you. Just pull Him close. Let Him pull you close. Or just minister to Him. Let Him minister to you. You understand, nobody can minister to the king like the queen can. Brother Bam talked about a preacher, about a preacher's wife. How that preacher's wife can come in, sit on his lap, just console him, do more with him than anybody said. You think, here we are, the wife of the king. Laodicea laughs at him, makes fun of his word. Some of them say he don't even exist. They ridicule him. Unless you and I, as his wife, climb up on his lap, sit down as it were in his lap. Let's comfort him and tell him, they may make fun of your word, but I love it. They may laugh at your message. They laugh at your prophet, but I love it, Lord. I thank you for sending it to me. Minister to him. Minister to him. They ridicule him. You praise him. They make fun of him. You exalt him. They use his name as slang and use it in cuss words. You honor it. You praise him. You adore him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just worship him before we go. Oh, Jesus.
I bowed on my knees and cried,
Lord
holy.
God. Lord God.
I cried, holy.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
You are
holy. You are
holy. My hands and sing glory. I sing glory to the Son of God. I bowed on my knees and cried, holy.
My hands are
I dream of a city called glory. Oh, so bright and so fair. When I enter the gates, I cry.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can almost see the lights of that city. Maybe lower than that. I can almost see the light of that city. I see them gathering all around the great white throne. Through faith in my Savior and His wonderful love, oh, I can almost see the light. Oh. As a little old brother used to go down to church in Kentucky, he's gone on now. Brother Fred McGinnis was his name. That was his favorite song. Every time I sing that song, I think of him. He just had a half an ear. He had an accident, got half his ear cut off, and he just had this way about him. Every time he'd get up the same, Jesus. I tell you one thing, that's going to be mild the way Brother Fred's going to carry on when we see him that day. Oh, children, this ain't no fairy tale. This ain't no Disney story. It's a reality. Do you understand this presence you're feeling right here tonight? Do you understand what that is? It's that world that's permeating this building. It's that world. It's that evidence that we're going. God bless you. I love you. Service in the morning. Let's sing it together as we go. Oh, I can almost see the light of that city. I see them.